We've had a really fun few days. If you've been at the conference, maybe you dipped in and out, or maybe you haven't been yet, and you're here now. And this is our church conference, so this is still it. You haven't missed. Well, you have missed a few things, but one of the things I know about the Lord is He always saves the best till last. And you know, it's a funny thing is when you're doing these conferences, your body can get quite tired because you're talking with people, and we're worshiping the morning, the afternoon, the evening. It went on a little bit late last night. I actually did say to Tim before we started last night, I said, I will shoot to finish about 10, I think, tonight, because some people will need to get home. And I got home at 1:30 this morning. which was wonderful. But then we find ourselves this Sunday, Pentecost. Yeah, that we celebrate the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a wonderful person. He's not a thing or an it. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the one who Jesus promised us. He's the one who Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, but one is coming. Find John 14 if you've got your Bibles. I'll pick up from verse 15. You're going to read a bit from John 16, yeah? Go on, why don't we stand as we read? While you can. verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I'm just going to keep going for a little bit longer. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. and he has nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, so do I. Arise, let us go from here.
And this is 16. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Grab a seat for a moment. Over the last couple of days, in fact, in prayer on Tuesday night, if some of you were there, I think we shared a bit that it felt like the Lord wanted to take us up a notch. You know, we ascend the hill to the Lord. He's always calling us into his presence. And some of you may have seen things or experienced things you've not seen before. The joy, the intensity of the presence of God, the deliverance of what happens when the Holy Spirit sweeps through the room when the kingdom of God is established. Jesus was criticized that, you know, you cast demons out by Beelzebub. And he says, if I cast demons out by the finger of God, then truly the kingdom is amongst you. The sign of freedom, the sign of people, the chains falling off people's lives is the paramount sign that the rule and the reign of God is breaking in. And you saw a little bit of that you saw quite a lot of it last night, actually. And it's a precious, precious thing. I spoke to one of the, somebody had been a Christian about 6 months, a guy, and I said, you know, how are you finding this? And he just looked around and he said, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. The presence of God in this place. And so we thought we would just tell, some of you have heard a little bit about our journey, but it's been a while since I've seen that. But we were, when we came to Jesus and the Holy Spirit came into our life, this is what we were born into, this beautiful Holy Spirit. And he's never left us. And we love the freedom that he's brought. But I would say to you all, now that there is freedom in your life, treasure his presence. He is the treasure. He is the pearl of great price. He has come and made his home. Jesus says, we're knocking at the door of your heart. Anyone who opens up, we will come in and eat with him. It's his presence. He comes into our life. And I remember, you know me, I'm not a crybaby. When he came in, I just sobbed like a baby. I tried to confess my sin. I'm just crying for 20, 30 minutes, just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. You're a bit of a screamer, aren't you? Sometimes. Go on. Well,
sometimes it has been known.
It has been known. But when you came to Jesus, there was a real sense of deliverance, of freedom. And there were a number of times when you drew attention to yourself.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, many of you have heard my story, you know, significant sort of past and childhood of deep brokenness and trauma and abuse. And, you know, I was just thinking this, how we want to frame this today, just really as we tell little bits of our story as he leads us, really it is to honour the way that Holy Spirit led us to Jesus and revealed the truth of Jesus and set us free and commissioned us and blessed us. But for me, that early journey really was a story of freedom. Didn't grow up in a Christian home and no talk about God. My grandfather used to say that we were cursed as a family, and there was significant trauma in my childhood, some sexual abuse, and a real deep level of two significant strongholds. I would say fear was one of them, and shame. And in my teens, looking for love in all the wrong places, I became fairly sexually promiscuous. And one day I was sitting on a bus and I went past a church that a family had taken me to a couple of times as a small child. You know, I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, you know, the fruit of the Spirit as he wells up in our lives. Sometimes we're not even preaching the gospel to somebody or laying our hands on them. But there was this one lady who, she was the first Christian I ever met, and she was the kindest person I knew when I was a child. Kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's like imprinted in my memory, her face, her kindness. And she would sometimes take me to church with her children. My mother was a single parent. And I didn't have a conversion there, but I did encounter Holy Spirit there. Sometimes I would sit in church and I would just weep, and I didn't know what was the matter with me, and they didn't know what to do with me. And anyway, at the age of 20, I was on a bus coming home from town, and I looked at this church that I'd gone past many times, and I remember feeling Holy Spirit. I didn't understand it at the time, but I know now. That as I looked at this church, the moment I looked with longing, and I said in my heart, in my mind, I miss you, God. But I didn't know where to find him. I had no idea how to find him. And I just welled up with emotion on the bus, welled up with tears. And I didn't know what to do about it. But he just came close to me and began to reveal Jesus to me. And from that exchange, that prayer, I suddenly was surrounded by Christians. A whole bunch of my friends were Christians and they'd never blown their cover. And some of them were getting saved in the church that Steve was planting in Southend. And one night we were just talking and I began to talk about God. I didn't talk about this encounter. I didn't understand it. But I just started asking questions about God. And they sensed a moment and they invited me to church, which was the first ever celebration of the church that Steve was planting. It was a little pub function room. And I remember my friends, I mean, all my friends were late. Never do that if you invite someone to church, okay? They were all late. But I remember walking down the corridor of this function room and I could hear the sound of the singing. And it was like these love songs. And I just immediately, that same feeling I had on the bus and Holy Spirit just drawing me to Jesus, just beginning to awaken my spirit and reveal the truth to my heart. And I just sort of welled up in tears, went into this room. And as I looked at all these people, I knew that the presence that was in the room was what I was looking for. I didn't understand, but I instantly knew. I was terrified, but I was also really drawn to knowing that I'd just kind of prayed this prayer, this longing, and whatever I was praying about, whatever I was looking for, these people had. And very quickly, I kind of got scooped up into the life of the church. And people began to tell me about Jesus. And And then Holy Spirit just started to do a deep work in me, and it began in worship. I was scared, honestly, because everybody was sort of really connecting with God and emotional, and it was very, and I was like, I don't understand this. I feel like I'm sitting on the outside of this, and I would go red and get hot and feel really embarrassed. But of course, this is what happens when Holy Spirit comes and starts to convict you of your sin and come and brings Jesus close to your heart. And I just began to learn the songs, and I just started to sing them. And as I started to sing them, Holy Spirit just came really, really close and began to do a work in my heart. And there was this exchange of salvation in the songs as I sang the songs. And I began to believe the songs I was singing. I began to mean the words and sing love songs to Jesus. And then the next thing that happened was over the course of about 3-4 months, I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. This deep repentance, this what I can only describe as living water. Of course, we understand that from the Bible, but I didn't understand it at the time. But I would literally feel like water is being poured into me as I would worship. And the Lord began to heal the fear and the shame that I had experienced as a child. But I think the specific screaming encounter that Steve is talking about was about 18 months later. I was most changed, and the Lord had done a deep work in me, so much so that my friends didn't recognize me, and my mum was terrified of what had happened to me. I was so different. I had completely changed. The party life had gone, and I was living by the word of God. I remember how I'd encounter the Holy Spirit in worship, and no one would tell me what to do. I would go home, read my Bible, and I'd be like, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I was like, right, I just need to stop drinking. And I would just do the things that the Bible said to do, because Holy Spirit was bringing that conviction in my life, and this change was just coming so quickly. But the one thing, this shame, the shame that I'd experienced as a child and growing up, would sometimes just come back. And I didn't know what to do about that. I was walking with Jesus, but it intensified when I started dating Steve. And not because he did anything wrong.
That's a bit rude.
I know. It was like the holiness of God coming close to my shame. Actually, what I felt was that Steve was like, he's never done anything wrong. Like, he's been a Christian.
I thought that as well.
I was like, he's perfect. This man is perfect, was what I thought. And he was like, he'd got become a Christian at 13, and the worst thing he'd ever done was smoke a cigarette and fall out of a tree. And I'm like, I have a past. Like, I've got a real past. And it was like, because I was with him, the memories and all of the stuff that had happened to me and that I'd done just intensified. And although I knew Jesus had washed me clean, in my head and in my heart, I still felt this shame. And one day I was in church, and it was just really bad on this particular day. I just felt like, I'm just not good enough for him. I'm just not worthy. I'm just yuck, and all this horrible, yucky stuff. And I was standing in the worship, and everybody was just worshiping nicely, and I just began to bring, it was quite a small service as well. I want you to set the scene for you, because it was like 50, 60 people in the rooms, you know, lots of young people, but also some, you know, sweet little old ladies. And it was, you know, just this calm, lovely love songs to Jesus. And I just began to bring this yucky feeling before the Lord. And the only way I can describe what happened next is it was as if the finger of God, as the holiness of God, just touched me here. And I felt this whoosh of like water just pouring in, and I just started screaming, like screaming and screaming and screaming, and it was loud and it was long, and people had just found out that we were dating, and here I was, you know, the woman with the past, screaming on the front row. I mean, it was very disruptive. But afterwards, the shame was gone, just completely gone. And I felt I had been made new. And you know, there is this, it's what Paul talks about in Corinthians 2, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as we draw near, contemplate the Lord's glory. We're being transformed with ever-increasing glory. There's the work he does, revealing Jesus to us and that saving work, but then this sanctifying work that he also does in our lives. And it's real and it's powerful. And actually, we wanted to share some of that this morning because that's what we saw last night. Some of you may never have seen that before, but I know because I've experienced it.
Yeah. And then this person of the Holy Spirit who has come into our life, who has led us, and he has become our best friend. He's always there. And you know, some of the, it's yielding to him. He becomes your best friend as you yield to him. As he leads you, as he speaks. And, you know, he's led us into spiritual things like prayer and the Bible, but also very practical things. You know, it's hard to believe that being married to someone so perfect as me, that we could have an argument.
I did start to see some of the imperfections.
They quickly came. But you know, in our marriage, how does the Holy Spirit teach us and lead us? And, you know, we came from very different backgrounds, and occasionally we would disagree. I mean, obviously I was right. But in marriage and being together, you can hurt one another. You can say things that you shouldn't say, but the Holy Spirit is there. And as we do that, we grieve him, and he starts speaking, and he brings to remembrance, do not let the sun go down, or at least rise, on your anger. And I can't tell you the number of times when we've round some, and the Holy Spirit is inside saying, say sorry, but I'm right. This is a matter of principle. Say sorry. Back down. This is not a battle you need to win. Whichever one yields to the Spirit first. Because if you're married, you know that when you're rowing, it's never the thing you're rowing about. And the Spirit just calling us and saying, say sorry, love one another. And that whole principle of we're never going to, and we did let the sun go down. Well, actually, we didn't let the sun go down in our anger because sometimes it had already gone down when we were rowing, okay? But it couldn't come up on our anger. What Paul is saying is there is an interaction that happens here. And so the Holy Spirit in our marriage leading us and teaching us to love one another. He is the third cord in our marriage. Ecclesiastes says, and it's that honesty and that love that you see. If you don't take his lead, you will start to grow apart. And the whole purpose of marriage is that we would understand how Jesus loves the church, how a man loves his wife and a wife loves her husband. And so that leading, I remember when we went through really hard times. You know, with babies.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes through seasons, trials of suffering and things that happen. Life happens to all of us. And again, there is this, all the different facets of how Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus and the truth of Jesus. And when we talk about health, helper, advocate, he's also the comforter. He's the counselor. And when we go through difficult times, he gives us a heavenly perspective through the word of God and also just in prayer, person to person, to Holy Spirit person. And when we went through a series of fairly traumatic, I mean, it's always traumatic if you miscarry babies, but some of my miscarriages were very late. So we actually held our babies and, you know, said goodbye to them. And so it was deeply, deeply traumatic. And I remember as we went through that with him, I used to say, I can't see any good out of this. You know, I know that God will turn all things together for the good of those who love him. But right now, I can't see any good in this except I feel so close to him right now. And you know, Psalm 30 talks about weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the song, the psalm, David speaks of this desolation and consolation. He says, when my royal mountain was firm, you know, it's all good. But then when I was dismayed, there was this place of coming to you, Lord, and this intimacy that came in that place. And if you're here this morning and you're going through trials and suffering and difficulties, you know, that is really hard. But I want to say to you, the consolation is the closeness of our comforter, the counselor, Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth in those moments. And there is a depth of intimacy that comes that cannot be formed in any other way. And that's what we experience.
And often in the hard times, we're trying to understand. But actually, sometimes there isn't an answer. It's a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. And he walks with you. And he's with you. He's your friend. And we walk, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But fear not, I have overcome the world. And we walk with him. Sometimes he's like, go do something. You know, sometimes it'll just be, you know, what, last 2 weeks ago, you're harassing cleaners and pedestrians outside Starbucks.
I mean, I feel like this is normal life as a Christian, right? We have different ways of, like, you know, how Holy Spirit leads us. And one of the things that often happens with me is, you know, just as Steve talked about, you know, you have a row in marriage and there's this, like, you know, you've grieved him. You know, when he's with you, in you, you know when you've grieved him. And that's why you put it right. It's like, we'll go to the Word of God, we'll put this right, we'll work this out. But for me, you know, that thing of the fruits of the Spirit, sometimes it's like he just bubbles up inside of you and something overflows to the people around you automatically without you even thinking about it. And that fruit of the Spirit, as he bubbles up in us, is an encounter for another person. And I mean, Steve's a couple of news stories. I mean, we were at something a few weeks back with pastors called Strengthen, and it was a great time with pastors, and we walked out. Everybody was hungry. It was the last meeting. Everybody just sort of trundled out to go and get lunch. Everyone was going really fast, and I just saw this woman who was carrying a Hoover, sort of lugging it down the stairs. And we were all walking past her, and just as I walked past her, I felt this grieving. And I knew that Holy Spirit was grieved that we'd all walked past her. And I was in a mid-conversation with someone, so I just sort of went up to the room, put my bags down, and then came back down. And I knew she was a Christian. I just looked into her eyes and I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I just wanted to come and say hello. And I said, you know, we're doing a pastor's meeting here. Her eyes welled up with tears. I said, listen, I just felt God say I needed to come and say thank you. Thank you for doing all this cleaning for us. And she just started crying and we just started hugging and blessing each other. And it was just a beautiful moment. But it wasn't, it's not a forced thing when he's leading you. His fruit wells up and somebody has an encounter with Holy Spirit because his fruit is overflowing in our lives. I think the other one that Steve was just talking about, I mean, this, like, I just got out of the car. It seems strange to him because I got out of the car and I was hugging these strangers, but there were these, I just got out, I was going into the shops and there were these two ladies that walked past. It was the same thing. You know, you just feel what God feels in that moment. And I looked at this woman and I just said, oh gosh, I feel like you've had a hard day. And she kept walking. I know that's not a good thing to say, but it's just what came out of my mouth. I just knew that the Lord saw it in her. And I said, you know, I feel like you guys need a hug, these two women. The one woman just kept walking, you know, and sometimes you've only got a split second to connect with somebody and express God's love. The other woman kept walking, but the second woman just went, I have vascular dementia. I have vascular dementia and I need a hug. And I just put my arms out, hugged her, and I said, "Oh, God bless you. May God bless you today." It was like that was really quick, and she was gone because she was following her lift. But it's just, it's not hard. You know, sometimes we, you know, psych ourselves all up to have a, you know, to give somebody a big word. And sometimes it is that. But more often than not, through our relationship with Christ, His Spirit is leading us, and there is this overflow of His fruit that other people can encounter God through.
In so many times through our life, He's just said, "Come walk with me. Come walk with me." And He's taken us on a journey. The psalmist says, "He anoints my head with oil and my cup overfloweth." The work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one we're talking about today. The beautiful Spirit of Jesus, our best friend, the helper, the Spirit of truth, the one who comes and makes His home in us. And he's renewing His church. He is the pearl of great treasure that we discover, the breath of Jesus.